today we're so thankful, so grateful for everything that you have done for us in Christ Jesus. Lord, there is nothing that you left out for us in the death, burial, and resurrection. There was nothing missing. There was nothing that was left out. You provided everything for us in the death, burial, and resurrection. You healed our bodies. You saved our souls. You gave us the keys to overcome in this world. And Lord, today we ask that the great, mighty, powerful Holy Spirit would illuminate our understanding, give us wisdom, insight, direction today by your Spirit. In Jesus' name, and all that agreed said,
amen,
amen and amen. We started a series last time. Actually, the week before Easter, called Unshakable, as you can see up here. And in Hebrews chapter 12, we're going to see a couple of verses here. This is the New Living Translation, which I like. And if you'll just follow along with me here today, and we're going to get into this again. It says that when God spoke from Mount Sinai, His voice shook the earth. How many of you know God has this powerful voice?
Amen.
Without a microphone. Okay. He spoke from Mount Sinai and it shook the earth. That's how powerful our God is. But now He makes another promise. Once again, I will shake not only the earth, but the heavens also. Man, it's one thing to have a power in your voice to shake the earth, but now the heavens as well. Well, that's because God made it all, right? So again, He says, I will shake not only the earth, but the heavens also. This means that all of creation will be shaken and removed so that only unshakable things will remain. Now notice that, unshakable things will remain. Now since, in verse 28, since we are receiving a kingdom that is unshakable, let us be thankful and please God by worshiping with holy fear and awe. All right? Now notice in verse 28 that we have a kingdom. We have a kingdom that just happens to be on the inside of us. The kingdom of God is not, matter of fact, Jesus said when the kingdom of God comes, you know, remember what He said? Jesus said when the kingdom of God comes, you're not going to look here or there or behind you or over there. He said, lo, the kingdom of God is within you. The kingdom of God is within you. Now, the kingdom of heaven is something different, but the kingdom of God is a kingdom where the king has his domain and he just happens to live on the inside of us. Amen? That makes me happy when I hear that. I'm telling you. But He says that in verse 28, we've received this kingdom that is unshakable. Let us be thankful. Praise God. It's important to be thankful, isn't it? One way to lift yourself out of any kind of even a remote depression is to start being thankful. Praise God. So many times people tend to look at what they don't have or what's missing instead of what they do have. Count your blessings. Amen. You get up in the morning, I'm telling you, first thing you ought to do is thank God. That's the first thing that ought to come out of our lips when we wake up in the morning. And I'm telling you, that's the right way to start your day, is to be thankful. Somebody needs to hear that today.
Amen.
Amen. Now, we live in a earth system. We talked about this last time that we shared about this 2 weeks ago before Easter, that we have an earth system that's unstable, failing political, economy, so on and forth, et cetera, et cetera. You know what I'm saying? There's an instability that's in the earth today, but we have an unshakable kingdom. Now, let's go over to Matthew chapter 7 here, and I just want to review a little bit what we shared last time, and then we're going to dive right into this morning some more territory here. But in Matthew chapter 7, if you have your Bibles, go over there. We've entitled this series, Unshakable. Say, that's me.
That's me.
All right. Now, you may not feel like that right now, but God says you are unshakable. Bless the Lord. But in Matthew chapter 7, we see here, we saw this last time that we talked about this, that, and I think it's worth reviewing this again because I think it's that important here. In verse 24, that's Matthew 7, verse 24, says, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, this is Jesus talking here, and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. The rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew, and it beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Now notice the three words here, rain, floods, winds. Okay, notice those three words, rain, floods, winds, beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Now look at verse 26. It says, and everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And notice this, the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew. Here we have those three words again. We have rain, winds, and floods. Didn't we just read that with the first guy here? Okay. And it says, it beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall thereof. Verse 28, and it came to pass that when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority, not as the scribes. How many of you know when Jesus taught, there was a power and there was an authority behind what he said?
Amen.
Jesus was not a wimp. Jesus didn't get up there and say, I'm sorry, guys, can I interrupt you for a second here? Do you mind if I take a little time up here and preach a little sermon to you? Jesus wasn't like that. He spoke with power and he spoke with authority. He was not, as we say, Casper Milquetoast. You ever hear that phrase before?
Yeah.
You don't want to be that. Say, I don't know what that means, but I don't want to be that. Okay. But I want you to notice something out here, because there's a whole lot of shaking going on. We're talking about unshakable, okay, in these last days. And I can't wait to get into this today, but notice that Jesus is saying right here, there's two men here, and he says, one heard the word and did the word, the other one heard the word and didn't do the word, and it was the same storm that impacted two of these same two individuals. Same storm came, but one was left standing, the other was wiped out. What is the difference? One was a hearer of the word only, but the other heard and then did the word. Amen? You know, Brother Hagin, my spiritual father, used to say this, and it was funny because, you know, every time he said it, people just get a hold of it, because he said back in the years, and he pastored nearly 12 years before he was in the road ministry, you know, and he said that in his church, when he pastored a church, he would have different, he'd have different meetings. And he would call them different names, okay? And anointed meetings, saturating meetings, and all these different types of meetings. He said he would ride that wave for about a month, you know? And they would talk about saturation. They would talk about it for a month, you know? And he said that he noticed this, that nobody was saturated after a month. Then he would call them get free meetings. So everybody would come out, it's get free. Anybody ever hear this before? Or set free meetings. And he said... And he said he went on this trend for like a year. He said, I've noticed that there were no more set free than when I first started. There were no more get free than when I first started. And then the Lord, he went to the Lord about this. I think this is absolutely remarkable. He went to the Lord about this. And the Lord said this. He said, here's what's going on here, because the people weren't any more free than when they first started. He said, son, here's the reason why. He said, you've tried to do what only my word can do in people's lives. I'll say that again. He said, you've tried to do in the natural what only my word can do. And so you would have get free meetings, get free meetings and all these different things, get loosed and all this stuff, you know. But they were no more set free or loosed than they were when they first started. But the Lord said this, Jesus said this to him. He said, when you build your house on the word of God, where you're hearing the word and doing the word, he said, then they will overcome. And he said, he noticed that after he started building his ministry on, this is way back in the day, when he started building his ministry on the word of God, where people would come in. Now, it wasn't like goosebumps flying and all this kind of stuff and, you know, real in the natural, you know what I'm saying? But people would sit down on their chairs and their pews. They would hear the word of God taught. They would hear it and they would act upon the word. And all of a sudden, those people started getting set free supernaturally.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. See, they put the emphasis on teaching the word of God. Now, the scripture tells us that in the latter days that some will... You know, that they'll get tired of hearing sound doctrine. You know, there's people today, they're tired of hearing sound doctrine. It says that they'll heap unto themselves teachers having itching ears and turn away to fables.
Yeah.
Well, what does that mean? That means people want to be entertained rather than taught the Word of God.
Amen?
Now, don't get me wrong, the Holy Ghost can entertain us. Okay? But the emphasis should be the Word of the living God, because it's the Word that will save people. It's the Word of God that will heal people. It's the Word of God that will deliver people. Amen. And so we put much emphasis on the Word of God, because it's the Word of the living God that changes people. It changes people's lives, their bodies, their spirits, their marriages, financial situations, you name it. Okay? And Jesus said that when a man hears the Word and does the Word, that he'll be like this person that when the storm came, notice that the rain, the winds, and the floods came. It came to both these individuals, but one was wiped out and the other one wasn't. The only difference was one heard the Word and did the Word and the other one didn't. Amen? That's why James, and I'll just refer to this, but James chapter 1 says that we're to be here, not just hearers of the Word, but doers of the Word. Amen? And so when we become doers of the Word of God, we're setting up a tremendous foundation in our lives spiritually, so that when the winds and the waves come against us, and I'm telling you, the crisis of life comes to all of us. You say, well, what do you mean? Are you prophesying darkness? No. It's just the fact that you're living in this earth realm, we're living in this earth, and you're going to have financial pressure. Okay, let's just face it. You're going to have these things come against you. You're going to have family issues. You're going to have body. Sometimes your body's attacked. Okay, now that's, I'm not prophesying. I'm just saying if you're in the root, in the earth, you're going to have those kind of things. However, you and I have the option and the opportunity to overcome those issues when they come our way. And I'll tell you what, it's a wonderful thing when you realize how much God loves us, how much God cares for us, that you can walk through any situation in life and you can see the hand of God, how faithful He is to deliver you. Amen? Yeah, amen. Now, it's not the tests and trials of life that make you or I strong. Okay? If that were the case, we would all be spiritual giants. Right? If it was the issues of this life, the cares of this life, the things that come against us, the tests and the trials, my goodness, we'd all be spiritual giants, wouldn't we? People say, like, and I've heard this through the years, people say, you know, trials will make you strong. No, they don't. It's when you resist the trials. See, weights don't make you strong. It's when you resist them. Okay? They can also crush people. Amen? You get a guy there in the gym, you know, and he puts 300 pounds. He says, put 300 pounds on that bench press, you know, and he hasn't lifted a thing in years. Let me tell you something. He's going to break some ribs. Are you with me now? Ask me how I know. Not quite that, but, you know. But, you know, through exercise of resistance, you know, that, my goodness, you know, when sickness tries to attach itself to your body, pain attacks itself to your body, and you rise up, and your body doesn't want to do it. Let's just face it. You stand up on that and you're not feeling good, you know, and you got a fever and you say, by Jesus' stripes, I am healed. And I'm telling you, you'll have every devil just pile up on your shoulder and tell you it ain't going to work for you. Yeah. Listen, I've been walking with Christ since 1976, okay? And every time that I've gone to use my faith, prayer, or authority, the devil would tell me it's not going to work this time. Well, he ought to learn after 30,000 times that it does work, okay? But see, he's a liar, and he will come to you and try to tell you in your mind. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Yeah. He'll tell you, oh, you're not strong enough. You don't have enough word in you. You haven't been a Christian long enough. Look at what you did last week. Yeah. You played a fool last week. Look at how you acted. You chewed someone out last week. You cussed them out last week. I'm not advocating that. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, get it under the blood. You know what I'm saying? And you get it under the blood, you're forgiven, you're righteous, you're holy before God. Okay? Point being is this, is that it's not the test or the trial that makes you strong. It's what we do with the word that we have. And that's why we're privileged, folks. You and I, we're privileged to be in a place, in an atmosphere, you know, and there's other churches that are doing the same thing. Praise God. I'm not saying we're the only one, because we're not. But I praise God that we're called to minister the life-giving word of the living God to help people overcome obstacles in this life. All right, let's move right along here. There was a lot of shaking that was going on here with the rain, the winds, and so forth that came and beat upon this house. But notice that the man, again, that heard that word and did that word was left standing. You might say that you can become flood proof, just like Noah built an ark. And when the winds and the rains descended literally upon him, he and his family were lifted up above, okay, which is a type of the rapture, okay? And God has an ark for you and for me, an ark of safety, amen? Except we're not building our ark with our hands with hammers and nails, okay? The way that we build our ark is with the words of our mouth. When we say what Psalm 91 says, I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge, my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Man, you're built right there. You're building yourself an ark of safety, an ark of preservation. Now, today, I want to talk about this because we're talking about unshakable. And I thought about this and I was meditating on this as I was preparing, that what is it that makes us shake? Think about that for a minute. What is the primary thing that makes you and I shake or tremble? It comes down to this: words or impressions. Amen? And I want to show you something here. Go over to 1 Samuel chapter 17. 1 Samuel chapter 17, and I want to show you something here. We are going to read this little account here concerning Goliath, a Philistine, an enemy of Israel. We're only going to read a few verses here, but I want to show you something here about how that words can shake us. Okay? Now, the good news is the same principle that the devil uses to shake us with his words, with his thoughts, we can reverse that and we can cause him to shake and him to tremble. You know what's really interesting? The Bible says in James chapter 4, it says, submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he shall flee from you. Didn't it say that? You submit to the Lord through you submit to his word. That's how you submit to the Lord. You submit to his word. And then it says, then you resist the devil, diablo, and he will flee from you. The word flee literally means this, to run as if in terror. To run as if in terror. Yeah. Now stop and think about that. When was the last time the devil ran from you as if in terror, afraid? You ever see on, you know, on movies or something like that, they're taking off running, you know? And I mean, they're afraid. They're taking off. They're in fear. They're trembling. You see. And I remember when I was a kid, for example, one of our relatives pulled a practical joke on us. I don't know if you've ever had that happen to you before, but I had I would call my cousin. He really wasn't my cousin, but we were that close. Our families were close to this cousin of ours, and they had moved from the city up to up in the country, up in Fombell. If you heard of Fombell before up there, and they had a horse ranch and so forth up there, And I mean, we just loved it. We'd go up there and spend a few days up there, and we all had our own horse and this kind of thing. It was just awesome, you know. And so, you know, this is back when I was like 14, 15 years old, you know. So we decided one night that my cousin and I, we were going to camp out, make a campfire, take our horses with us. I mean, just like in the movies, you know what I'm saying? Like Blazing Saddles, you know what I'm saying? Minus some of the stuff, you know what I'm saying? So we did this, and I'm telling you, we were like Westerners, man. We're just living this up, you know. And so we went down, and we started a campfire, had our sleeping bags, horses are right over there. I mean, we were just living the dream as our kids. I'm telling you, it was awesome. Well, what I didn't realize is that his older brother and my father and his father were going to pull a practical joke on us, you know. And it's dark. It's pitch dark down there, and there's woods down there. And, I mean, it's a lot of trees and so forth. And so what happened is, right in the middle of the night, I'd say an hour or two after we got settled in, the fire's going, we heard all these sticks breaking and noise in the woods. I mean, I'm telling you, it was just, and growling noises. And I looked at my friend, he looked at me, and I thought, did you hear that? No, I didn't hear that. I heard that. We are terrified. We're like, what in the world is this? Is there a bear or something down there, you know? And so, you know, we're just kids, you know. They started making all these growling noises and stuff. And I'm telling you, at the same time, we jumped up in unison. And we took off to the, we weren't that far from the house, actually, maybe a half a mile from the house, you know. But here's the thing, there's electric fences to keep the animals in. Okay? Well, you don't see that in the dark, you know. And we took off. I'm telling you, we left our bags, everything there. I mean, they can have it. Whatever that was, they can have it. I don't know if it's Bigfoot or whatever, you know. So we took off running. I'm telling you what, we ran through, I don't know how many barbed wire fences and electric fences. And we got back to the house, and we're all red and everything. And we looked at our stomachs, and we had these burn marks across our stomachs. Because we ran through this like a finish line, you know. And we told our mothers back there what happened. Well, they knew what happened. Well, a few minutes later, all the guys, the dads and the older brother came back in, and they were laughing like crazy because of what they did. They pulled a joke on us, you see. Well, let me tell you something. We knew what it was like to run as if in terror that night. I didn't even feel the pain till we got back. And it was like, oh, that hurt. You know what I'm saying? But listen to me. That word flee means exactly the same thing. To run as if in terror. When you use the name of Jesus, that's like throwing the whole Bible in the face of the devil. Okay? And you say, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I'm telling you what, it scares the living daylights out of the devil. Amen? Now, we don't use the name of Jesus like a rabbit's foot and just pull it out and say, I hope this works. Let's just see if it works. No, we have to have faith in that name, that when we use that name, every knee shall bow, every tongue will confess. And the devil has a tongue.
Yeah.
He has a knee, and he has to bow at that name. I'm telling you, he has no choice but to bow his knee in the name of Jesus. Amen? The other day, my daughter woke up and she had a terrible eye pain, you know, and just started crying. It was hurting so bad, you know. Well, guess what we did? We laid hands on her and we used the name of Jesus on that. And we didn't do it in a hurry or anything like that. I just laid hands on her. We said, in the name above every name. We didn't have to scream or shout because, you know, when you have authority, you don't have to scream or shout. You don't have to. You don't have to raise the volume unless you feel led to. You can say, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command. Sometimes that's all fear anyway. You know what I mean? People try to raise the volume. And it's more out of fear. Now, there is a power and authority. Amen. But the main thing is you can whisper the name of Jesus in faith. And I'm telling you what, the devil has to stop. Now, we didn't see any immediate results right away. She still hurt. She was still crying. And the pain was still there. But you know what? We use the name. Jesus said, in my name you shall cast out devils. In my name you shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. In my name. You and I, we have the right to use the name of Jesus. So many times we put up with things, folks. And I'll be the first to admit it. So many times we put up with things that we don't have to, needlessly. We allow the enemy to torment us when we already have at our disposal the right to use the name of Jesus. Now, that's not our subject this morning, of course, but while we're on that, have faith that when you use that name, that the enemy has to stop.
Yes.
He has to stop when you use that name. I had you to turn 1 Samuel, didn't I? Okay. In talking about the Philistine here, he is a type of the devil here. Now, notice here, we're going to read a few verses here, and I want you to see a pattern here. Verse 1, it says, now the Philistines now mustered their army for battle and camp. This is the New Living here, between Socho and Judah and Azekah and Ephes Damin. Saul, verse 2 says, Saul countered by gathering his Israelite troops near the valley of Elah. So the Philistines and Israelites faced each other on opposite hills with a valley between them. And verse 4 says, and Goliath, a Philistine, a champion from Gath, came out of the Philistine ranks to face the forces of Israel. Notice this, he was over 9 feet tall. Say, that's big. Okay? Over 9 feet tall. Some translations say he was 11 foot tall. Well, they're both big. All right? Verse 5 says, and he wore a bronze, this is his armor here, it says, he wore a bronze helmet, and his bronze coat of mail weighed 125 pounds. And he wore a bronze leg armor, and he carried a bronze javelin on his shoulder, and the shaft of his spear was as heavy and thick as a weaver's beam, tipped with an iron spearhead that weighed 15 pounds. That's just the spearhead. And his armor bearer walked ahead of him and carried a shield. Verse 8 says, and Goliath stood and shouted a taunt across the Israelites. Why are you all coming out to fight? He called. I am a Philistine champion, but you are only servants of Saul. Choose out a man to come down here and fight me. And if he kills me, we will be your slaves. But if I kill him, you will be our slaves. I defy the armies of the Israel today. Send a man who will fight me. Now, here's what I want you to see in verse 11. And when Saul and the Israelites heard this, they were terrified and deeply what?
Shaken.
Deeply shaken. In other words, their knees were having fellowship with one another. They were shaken. We're talking about unshakable. But see, you know, if you read the rest of the chapters here, you'll find out that every day, you know, for I think 40 days, I think it was, that this Philistine, this enemy of Israel, who was a type of the devil, would come out and he would taunt Israel. And every time that he would speak with his mouth, now get this, every time he would speak, what happened? Fear would go into the Israelites. And they would shake, and they were deeply shaken because of how big and how enormous that he was. I mean, they were terrified of him. Except David. Because David knew his covenant. And that's why it's interesting, because out of thousands of Israelites, David was the only person here that was walking in his covenant rights. Think about that. You got the whole entire camp of Israel here that has a covenant with God, and the only Israelite that's walking in the provision of that covenant, and it belonged to all of them, was David. And he came back from feeding his father's sheep. You remember that? And he was bringing food for his brothers while they were out there preparing for battle. They didn't fight. And he said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? And they just thought he was being a naughty little kid. You know what I mean? His brothers say, you're just trying to get out of feeding the sheep. You're trying to get out of your chores, basically. And he says, is there not a cause? David said, you remember the story, we won't take time, but David said, I'm going to take him on. And he said that to Goliath, he said, you come at me with a sword and with a spear, but I'm coming at you in the name of the Lord of hosts. And he said, today I'm going to take your head off. I'm going to feed your carcass to the birds. Amen. That's covenant talk. Amen. And we're talking about here how that we can be shaken by the words that we hear. But we can also shake the kingdoms of darkness by the words. And that's what I want to focus on today. Amen. Is we can reverse it. Amen. We can reverse it. And here you have a conversation going on. You have Goliath talking. Then you have David talking. Goliath said something. David said something. But you know who had the last word? David. He says, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. He hadn't done anything yet. But see, faith will speak. Faith will talk. And sometimes people will criticize you for speaking faith. But let me tell you something. I would rather be on the faith side of things than on the unbelief side of things. Amen. Instead of saying, well, you never know what God's going to do. No. There's no faith in that. Que sera, sera. What will be, what will be. That's not scripture. That's not a chapter and a verse. But I want you to see right here that all of Israel in verse 11, they were terrified and deeply shaken because of words that were spoken by Goliath. Okay? Now, Goliath is an intimidating person. Everybody say intimidation. And the devil is also uses the same strategy today by using words or thoughts. Remember we talked about that in our last series? Amen? About how thoughts come to us. And if we believe those thoughts, if they do not line up with the Word of God, I will reject them every single time.
Amen.
I don't know about you, but sometimes we get, you know, the wrong mail delivered to us, you know, and it's someone else down the street. You know, the mailman got mixed up or something, you know. But we have to not accept that. We said, no, this is, we have to tell the postman so we don't, they don't live here. This is someone else. And so we give that mail back to them. Sometimes we have to be persistent with it because they don't do it all the time, you know. But that's the way it is, because the devil will try to deliver a package to your house sometimes. And when you look at that, you don't just sign for it and say, well, that's mine. You have to just say, I am not, this is not for me. This doesn't belong to me. This oppression doesn't belong to me. This sickness doesn't belong to me. I'm not going to put up with it. I'm not going to sit down and just sit on my easy board boy chair and just say, all right, devil, just have at it. I'm not going to do that. We have to have some fight on the inside of us. We have to have some resistance on the inside of us. Fight the good fight of faith. That's the fight we're called to be in, is to stay in faith. Okay? Now, let's go over to the book of Revelation, to the back of the book. We're going to fast forward here many, many years here from that point we just read here. And in the book of Revelation, we're going to see something here about the Antichrist that will manifest when we're out of here. Now, when I read this, I want you to understand this, that you and I, we will not be here for the tribulation. We will not be here. You say, well, where are we going to be? We're going to be in heaven at the marriage supper of the Lamb. And the tribulation is a 7-year period. It's very emphatic. It's a 7-year period that's on the earth, but the church will be in heaven during that tribulation. We will not be here. Okay? But I want you to notice something here about the Antichrist who is filled with the devil. And verse 4, it's at Revelation 13, verse 4, out of the New Living, it says, and they worship the dragon for giving the beast such power, and they also worship the beast who is as great as the beast. And they exclaim, who is able to fight against him? Verse 5, and the beast was allowed to speak great blasphemies against God, and he was given authority to do whatever he wanted for 42 months. Now, the point I want to make is in verse 5 is that he would speak great blasphemies against God. And so the people there during that time period, which you and I will be in heaven, we'll be watching this as it takes place. We won't be there for this. But I want you to notice that the same thing that the devil's used for years and years is open his mouth and he begins to speak and people shake. Now, here's where I want to get into the meat of this today, because this is so important to be unshakable. And I want to say this exactly how I wrote this down here, because this is just so important, folks. It's so important that we must begin to prophesy to our circumstances. Now, the enemy uses words. He can either use another person to speak to you, or he can use circumstances to speak to you. We'll see that today. The devil should not have the last word. The enemy shouldn't have the last word. We need to learn to prophesy to our circumstances. Go to Ezekiel 37 here. We're going to look at something here. It's really interesting. What was David doing? He was prophesying to the giant. He said, today I'll take your head off. I'll feed your carcasses. He said, well, that doesn't sound very nice. Well, he was an enemy of God. Okay? Now, in the Old Testament, they did fight against flesh and blood. You and I don't. Amen? Just go wipe out a whole town. But see, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood now. We wrestle against principalities, powers, and rulers of darkness of this world. And we have to use spiritual weapons to defeat him, all right? But I want you to see here, here's a prophecy that Ezekiel gave concerning Israel, who was scattered throughout the nations of the world until the latter days. And so this prophecy that we're going to read right here literally came to pass in our lifetime. Now remember, Israel was spread throughout the whole earth because of their rebellion against God. They were scattered to all the four corners of the earth. But the Lord said, in the latter days, I'm going to gather Israel back to their homeland. Guess when that happened? May 11th, 1948. Here's the prophecy, among other things that we're going to read here. And it's, let's start in verse 3. Out of the King James, it says, and he said unto me, son of man, can these bones live? Talking about Israel. And I answered and said, O Lord, thou knowest. For, it says, again he said to me, prophesy upon these bones and say unto them. Now, how do you prophesy? You say. Okay? Say, speak.
Speak.
Okay. So, the way that we prophesy over things is we speak to them. Now, notice again, he says, verse 4, again, I say, he said unto me, prophesy unto these bones. Now, these bones are, there's no meat on them, there's no flesh on them. They just laying there doing nothing. But God says to Ezekiel, he says, prophesy to these bones. He was referring to Israel. And say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. And sometimes you need to talk to your checkbook and say, hey, listen here, checkbook, hear the word of the Lord. Body, back problem, ear problem. Hear ye the word of the Lord. Here's what the word of God has to say. And you begin to prophesy. Verse 5, thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live, and I will lay sinews upon you, and bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord. Verse 7, so I prophesied as I was commanded. Mr. Ezekiel was obedient to do what God said. He said, I prophesied as I was commanded. Amen. Remember Jesus said that, oh, I love this. Jesus said, I only do what I hear the Father say. He goes, I don't veer off of that. He says, whatever I hear, that's what I do. Whatever I see Him do, that's what I do. Someone says, well, yeah, that's Jesus. No, Jesus was, yes, He was not just in a class by Himself, but He was showing you and I how to operate in the earth. And what I've learned, I'm learning, I'm still learning. Praise God, that when I pray for people, that I don't just rattle off some quick prayer. You know what I mean? To just conjure up a prayer. You know what I mean? Just to be speaking. But I'm learning, praise God, to listen and hear first. And so when I pray or take authority, I'm listening to the words that I'm supposed to say and hear. Listen, you can say two words or five words in faith and cause a miracle to take place. And you can use a whole paragraph of your own words and nothing will happen. Amen? What Jesus said to the fig tree, no man shall eat fruit of thee hereafter evermore. That's just a handful of words. That's all He said. And guess what? The fig tree was history. We might, if we have time, we'll see that today, but notice that he prophesied as he was commanded. Verse 10, and so I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came upon them, and they lived and stood up upon their feet, exceeding great army. Verse 11, and he said unto me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say our bones are dried and our hope is lost, but we are cut off from, and we are cut off of from all the parts. And verse 12 says, therefore prophesy unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves, and I will cause you to come up out of the graves and bring you into the land of Israel. And so Ezekiel saw this hundreds of years before this, hundreds and hundreds of years before this took place. But notice that he spoke to those dry bones, typifying the nation of Israel. Amen. And Israel is called the fig tree. Jesus called, when the fig tree shoots forth leaves, you know that the end is near. Amen? And so Israel became a nation again in 1948. You know that. You've been around here. If you've been any length of time in here, you've heard us talk about that. Amen? Well, that's very significant. How many of you know that's a powerful prophetic word that came to pass? There's a lot of things we could talk about in there, but the thing I want to show you here is this. He didn't just talk about the bones. He didn't look at them and say, you know, you're really dry looking. Did he? You just look the same every day, just staring at me. Dry, brittle, nothing. Because that's not prophesying. Prophecy means to take to another level. And that's why when the spirit of prophecy is in operation, and it ought to be in operation in every church, the Bible says you all may prophesy one. I mean, do you know you can prophesy to yourself and your household? Yeah. And you should be. You should be prophesying to yourself. You ought to look yourself in the mirror and say, hey, it's going to be a great day today. I prophesied that day today. Amen. And just get started on that. Amen? Yeah. And so instead of just calling it like it is and say, well, you know, it's just I'm a realist. I just say the way it is. You know what I'm saying? Mm. Amen. That's real stupid. Are you with me now? I'm just a realist, you know. And now the Bible says that we're to call those things which be not as though they were. Amen. God quickeneth the dead and calleth those things that be not as though they were. Amen. When my body was attacked, what did I do? I opened my mouth and I began to speak words from God's word over my body. That word delivered me.
Amen.
It brought me out. And that's not the only time. My goodness, there's been so many times through the years that we have a choice. All of us here have the word of God at our disposal to take that word and to speak that word. Now, again, we're talking about being unshakable, and the way that the enemy makes us shake and quake is by bringing news to us, bad news to us, hearing words that make us shake. But listen, when you begin to open up your mouth and you begin to prophesy to those circumstances of your life, things will take place. You mind if I just share something real quick here? Most of the time, when you're doing this, you're going to feel stupid. Let's just be real about this. Because when you start opening your mouth and you start prophesying, the enemy's going to tell you, this isn't going to work for you. You're not spiritual enough. That might work for Brother Creflo. That might work for Brother Hagin, Oral Roberts, someone, but it ain't going to work for you. He's a liar. Okay?
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. We are prophesying over our children when they were still in the womb. Amen. Josh being our first child, you know, when Lou was expecting with him, you know, and I would put my mouth up to her stomach and I'd say, hey! And man, he was active. I'm telling you, he'd be bouncing around inside there. He's still that way. Amen. I'm telling you what, he came out of the womb. He put his head up. He's looking around, man. He's been the same ever since, man. He don't miss nothing, man. Amen. He's a watchman. He's a watchman. That I started prophesying over him in the womb. We both did. Speaking. Amen. Hallelujah. And when we were expectant, we could have had the sonogram to figure out, you know, whether it's a boy or girl, you know what I mean? We decided not to do that. Okay? But the Holy Spirit showed us both that we were going to have a son first. I knew this years ago. Before we ever had kids, you're going to have a son, then you're going to have a daughter. He didn't say anything about the cat and the dog, but, you know. this is true. This is a true story. It happened, and the Lord showed me. You know, Brother Hagin used to say, he said, the Lord showed me you're going to have a son first. You're going to have a girl. Well, if he can show him, he can show me too. That's exactly what he did. And so we could have had the confirmation through the sonogram whether it was a boy or a girl, but we decided not to. We said, we're having a boy. It was just a witness. And then the second thing happened. We decided that, you know, instead of just calling them any random name, there's 1,001 names out there, because we were hearing things and from the Bible that God had a specific name for people that was there was meaning behind the name, and just said just. Not just any random name. You know, you get those books now that has 10,000 names that you can choose, you know. We wanted God to name our children, okay? So this is kind of interesting. I went up in my office, which was our second bedroom in our little house that we had back in those days. And this is in 1989. And I told Lynn, I said, here's what we're going to do. The Lord's going to show us what we're to name our child today. This is it. So I went up there and I prayed. She was down in the living room there. She prayed, you know, and then we gingerly came together after that, you know, said, all right, what did the Lord say, you know? And I felt like God gave me a word, okay? So I wrote it down. She wrote it down too. And so we came together. Now, we never talked about this before. We never discussed it in 1 ounce, right? And so we got to talk and I said, well, did he give you the name? Yeah. All right, what does it start with? J. Yeah. That's it. Amen. Didn't know we had some cheerleaders in here today. Amen. All right, man. Amen. I said, well, what's the second letter? Oh, well, that could have been John, right? What's the third letter? S. So I said, here it is right here. It was Joshua, which is the root name for Jesus, Yeshua, Joshua. Okay? And the Lord gave him his name. Okay? That was a little different with Kelly because it was different, but we both felt she was supposed to be called Kelly. We talked about it and bore witness with us, you know. But why am I saying that? So we try to get God involved in every single decision we make, every area of our lives. Amen? One day, I remember this. I remember before we were even expecting to have children, the Lord gave me a little mini vision. I was running. I was out jogging one day on a summer day. And I was coming up our street, and I didn't see it with these eyes, but with my inner eyes, I saw a vision, and I saw my wife at the end of the driveway with a little boy holding her hand. And I saw it. It was like it. I wasn't expecting that at all. I mean, I just got back. I'm tired from a run, you know, trying to exercise, you know, and I see my wife holding his hand, this little boy. That's exactly what came to pass. Amen. See, the Holy Ghost will show you things to come. Amen. Do you know that? That's one of his jobs and his ministry is to show you things to come. What did Mr. Ezekiel do? Did he just play basketball? No. You know, so a lot of basketball players, Ezekiel, you know. So that's a joke, all right? All right? Bad humor, but you understand what I'm saying. But what did Ezekiel do? He prophesied to those dry bones. And that's what, to not be shaken in our lives, we have to learn to prophesy to the things of our life. Now, I want you to go to Romans chapter 8, and I want to show you this. This is so powerful. Romans chapter 8. Did you know that you are the prophet of your own life? What do you mean by that, Brother Keith? What you say about your future is what will come to pass. Mm-mm-mm. Good or bad. Okay? Now, when we're taught well enough, which we are, we're taught well here. Do you know that? That's not being egotistical or prideful. It's just a fact. Because the Word of God is the good Word of God. Amen. Amen. It's His Word. Amen. And when we're taught to prophesy to things in our lives, I'm telling you what, it'll start changing things, rearranging things. I saw this years ago. I came up with some confessions that I began to speak according to the Word of God about different areas of my life. Well, when I first started talking those things, I'd get up there and boldly confess those up in my bedroom, you know, and speak them. And man, it looked like they were never going to come to pass. Certain areas. Okay, but I noticed this. I just kept. Sometimes I didn't do it. Sometimes I got busy, but I always get right back to it. Get right back to it. Now I have them on my iPad here. You know, I speak them instead of paper. It's on there. Same thing. And I would get up and I would speak those things and prophesy them. You know, the devil would say that's never going to come to pass. But you know what? I look back now over the last 15 years plus. I've seen things come to pass. This thing happened. That thing happened. This thing happened. That thing happened. And I'll tell you what, it ain't over yet. Amen. It ain't over yet. You see, when you prophesy to those dry bones, they look very dead. Don't they? They look, there's no expression. They're not going anywhere. Just gathering dust. Turning white year after year. And it looks like there's never going to be any change in those circumstances and those bones. But I'm telling you, when you begin to prophesy like he did, he said, flesh started coming, sinews and muscles started developing, and then skin came up. Before you know it, Israel's alive. Are you with me? Mm-hmm. My. Selah. Stop and think. Amen. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. There's enough power in this room right now to change anything. There's enough power in here to change anything in the natural. And it's on the inside of each and every one of you. Thank you, Pastor Keith. I appreciate that. Boy, I'm telling you, I'm not just saying that. I mean that. God's talking to me as I'm speaking this right now. There's enough power in here to change anything. I'm telling you, if it's in the natural, it can change. Amen. That which is seen is temporal, the Bible says. That which is not seen is eternal. That doesn't change. If you can see it, it can change. Your body's in the natural, it can change. Amen? Your bank account, it's in the natural, it can change. Your son, your daughter, in the natural, it can change. All right? So how do we start to see these things change, all right? Romans chapter 8, verse 31. Romans 8, verse 31. Now get this. Paul said, what shall we say to these things? He's asking a question. There's a question mark. Do you notice that right there? He says, what shall we say to these things? Now, what things is he talking about right here? Let's read on. If God be for us, who can be against us? And he says, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of God, or Christ? Notice this. Shall tribulation, distress, or in other words, stressed out, persecution, famine, that means lack, nakedness, peril or trouble or sword. As it is written, for thy sake we're killed all the day long. We're accounted as sheep for the slaughter. We're not sheep for the slaughter. We're accounted as sheep for the slaughter. But he said in verse 37, nay or no, and all these things, say that. What things? The things he just mentioned. It says, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us.
Amen.
Oh, man. Do you see that? Now, if you go back to 31, he says, what shall we say to these things? Or not, let me say it like this. What shall we prophesy to these things? And he talks about lack, persecution, trials, tribulation. Didn't we just read that there? And what Paul, by the Holy Spirit, is saying there, what shall we say to those things when they're happening? He says right here, there's two things that we should say. If God be for us, who can be against us? The second thing we should say is verse 37, and all these things were more than conquerors. What are you doing when you do that? You are prophesying to your dry bones. Hallelujah. You are speaking. You are prophesying to your future. Hallelujah. You're the prophet of your own life. Listen, if you don't like how things are going in your life, start changing what you're saying. It's really important. Well, that sounds like bondage to me, Pastor Keith. I got to say some things. That sounds religious. No. Listen to me. This is scriptural principles. Okay? Let's go to one more scripture and we'll close here today because then we're really out of time here. But let's go to Mark chapter 11 here and I'll show you this. I wasn't going to go to this, but I really feel like we're supposed to here, and then we'll dismiss you here. So we see in Romans that we are to say two things. If God be for us, who can be against us? I said that while my body was under attack recently. I said, if God be for me, who can be against me?
Amen.
I am more than a conqueror through him that loved me. See, He loved me. He made me more than a conqueror. Now, I didn't ask myself that question. I didn't ask my flesh because my body doesn't feel like it sometimes. You know, sometimes you don't feel like a conqueror when you wake up in the morning. You feel like you've been conquered. Isn't that the truth? But don't ask your body how you feel. You tell your body. You tell your body, hey, listen. I'm more than a conqueror through Christ. If God be for me, who can be against me? And if we get busy, folks, listen. I believe you have ears to hear. I have ears to hear. We have ears to hear today. That if we start saying those two things, what shall we say to these things? If God be for me, who can be against me? Some of you right now, you're facing something right now, some kind of an issue in your life. Okay? That's not a word at all. It's just the facts of life. You know what I'm saying? You deal with different things. You ought to just look at that today. When you get out of here today, you ought to go home and you ought to just look in the mirror, whatever, say out loud. You say, you know what? If God be for me, who can be against me? If God be for me, who can be against me? I remember it way back when we first got into the ministry. We were associate pastors living in Texas, you know, and we faced some very difficult financial challenges. And I mean, it was so tight. It was just so tight. We didn't have enough money to make it to the end of the month. You know what I'm saying? But we're in the ministry. We're serving the Lord. And it was just tough as nails, man. I thought, man, I don't even have enough money to get by for the next week before I get paid again. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm talking about? I mean, squeaky tight. And the Lord said this to me. We were desperate. Yep, he's back. Amen. Can you tell?
You missed him, though.
Amen. That's right. That's all right. I encourage that a lot of times. Yep, I set you up to do that sometimes, don't I? Where was I at? Oh, yeah. Well, so anyway, the Lord, I was praying about this. Man, I was desperate. And I thought, we don't have enough money to get through to the end of the month. How are we going to have any food and all this kind of stuff? Well, here's what the Lord instructed me to do, and it seems so stupid and foolish to my mind. But He says, get your wallet and get your checkbook and lay it in the middle of the floor in your little apartment, your two-bedroom apartment. So, okay, I'll do that. So I got it. And we were just stupid enough to believe the word of the Lord. Amen? It seemed foolish in the natural to do such a thing, you know, but the only person that saw us was my wife, and we saw each other, and God saw us. Okay? And, you know, you've probably heard, if you've been around, you've probably heard me share this, but we laid it on the floor, and the Lord said, I want you to dance around that billfold, that wallet, and that checkbook right now, and I want you to praise me for my provision. Now, it didn't look real pretty. But we felt, I said, all right, hallelujah, here we go, glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus, you know what I mean? Hey, listen, they marched around the walls of Jericho, right. And they shouted, and the walls came down in the book of Joshua, didn't they? And the Lord was instructing us to do that. Well, we did that, felt kind of weird doing it, but we did it anyway, right? Well, that same week, we had a financial breakthrough. Without going and announcing it to everybody, I'm telling you, God did something for us and overcame that situation right there. And I learned something that day because, well, my body didn't want to do that. My flesh didn't want to do that. But sometimes when you act in faith, it looks foolish. It does. It looks kind of foolish sometimes. And it looks risky sometimes. Amen? But, you know, we paid our tithes. Man, we're faithful. We give our tithes to the church and so forth, you know. So we knew that what belonged to us according to the Scripture. You know what I mean? We weren't robbing God. We wanted to sow to Him and give to Him. So when we danced around that thing, I'm telling you, that was a step of faith to do that. Hallelujah. And that's when we saw a breakthrough. We saw a breakthrough in our lives. Now, Mark chapter 11. So what shall we say to these things? We have to learn to prophesy. Amen? Speak over your children. Speak over your finances. Speak over your grandchildren. Amen. speak over your job or the lack thereof. Okay? Speak over your future mate. That's a big one. Are you with me? And listen, you do not have to compromise. You don't have to pull an Ishmael. You don't have to, you know, I'm looking at my biological clock here. I'm getting older. The pickings are slim out there. So if I go down to the, if I go to the club, just maybe God will have someone there for me. Never. Never. You're not going to get onto the club and you're going to find Mr. Right or Mrs. Right. I'm telling you that right now. Okay? You can try to make it work up. And let me tell you something. You are setting yourself up for total disaster waiting to happen. Well, you know, if I start dating them, then they'll be converted. It never happens. Okay? You know, there's guys that go after girls, you know, and they're not even saved, but they know where the good girls are. And they got, not salvation, they got galvation. I borrowed that from somebody else. And so you think, you know, if I date this sinner, that they'll be converted, you know, and they put on a good show, okay? And they might say, praise the Lord. You hear what I'm saying? It would be funny if it wasn't true, but it's the truth. I've seen this. I've watched this through the years. You see, listen to me. You want God's best for your future. Amen. I say that with all our sincerity, but you want God's best for your future. You want the right man. You want the right woman. You don't want to take a shortcut and try to help God out, or you'll put yourself in a heap of trouble. Okay? Listen, if God created the heavens and the earth and remade your spirit, He can bring a man or a woman into your life that's godly. It comes down to this. Am I really going to trust God? Am I going to trust God? Now, that doesn't mean that that person that God brings to you is absolutely perfect in the flesh. The only person that was like that was Jesus Christ. Okay? Listen, if you lived with us any length of time, you'd realize we're not perfect. I am not perfect. Lynn's definitely not perfect. I'm just playing. You know that. Just teasing. She's, oh, those gears are going already. I know she's thinking of something there. Ushers, watch her. You ready, ushers? Okay. Got your walkie-talkies, you ready? Okay. But, you know, we're not perfect people. We're not. You know, sometimes we get in arguments. Okay. Amen. Let's just be honest. I mean, I'm not saying we duke it out and all this kind of stuff, but I'm saying sometimes we have disagreements, okay? But you know what? At the end of the day, she's the right woman for me. I'm the right man for her. You know what I mean? I told you. No, let's back up here. La di da la la. I don't even know where I'm at right now in this thing. Yep. Yep. Thank you. Thank you. You ever feel like that? Praise God. Praise the Lord. I don't think I'm going to read that scripture today. We'll pick it up next time. Amen. But listen, here's the thing. Don't ever look at your age or, in all honesty, don't just look at your age and where you're at and this and that and think, man, I'm this old, you know, and if I don't do something fast, something's going to happen, you know. But, you know, you just trust the Lord. You trust Him. You trust Him with every fiber of your being. And you begin to prophesy over your future. Prophesy over your future. Remember one time I was ministering to we were working for another ministry at the time, and we were counseling a lot of different people. And there was a lady that came to us. Remember that, Lynn? This lady, well, you'll know in a second. But this lady had gone through different relationships, and she was just really broken. And I mean, she came into her office, and she just broke down, just weeping and crying, and just so distraught about, you know, that God have a person for her, a mate for her, you know what I mean? And so she was making bad choices, you know what I'm saying? She was getting with different guys, and they were just the wrong. They were just not the right person for her, you know what I mean? And namely, she was going into the world to find, and you don't want to go into the world to find your mate, okay? Well, I remember there, and I was sitting across my desk, and the Lord dropped something in my spirit. And I pulled out a penny, you know, and I said, here's what you've had so far. Okay? And then I pulled out a $20 bill I had in my wallet. So I pulled it out. I said, here's what God wants to give you, but you've settled for this. Okay? You've settled for this little measly penny when you could have this big bill right here. And she understood that, you know. And I began to prophesy over her. I just spoke to her right then and there. I didn't say, thus saith the Lord. I said, let me tell you something. God is going to bring the right man into your life. And I said, you're going to have joy unspeakable and full of glory. Well, guess what? Within a year, that man came in her life, fell in love with each other. She got married. Now they have a child and they're happy. And they're blessed, last time I saw them. Amen? See, we don't have to settle for second best in our lives. Now, don't be unrealistic. Okay? Be realistic. Like I said, if you spent time with us, you realize we're human too. We make mistakes too. And you can't just look at a human side of someone and just make judgments all the time. Like, well, they do this and they do that. Listen, you do things too. Okay? We all do things. We all have idiosyncrasies, you know. If we spend any time around each other, any length of time in this room, you would probably get on each other's nerves at some degree. It's the truth, isn't it? Because what happens is when you become familiar with people, okay, you see things and you see a side of a person you haven't seen before. You're like, I don't know if I like that or not. You know what I mean? Well, here's the thing. Love will overcome all that stuff.
Amen.
Love will overcome that stuff. Any inadequacies in the flesh that we have had or, you know, with our children or whatever, the love of God is stronger than all that mess. It's the love of God. And at the end of the day, you get back and you build your house and you build your foundation on the love of God. Amen. And I'm telling you what, when you build your foundation on the rock, on the love of God, you will succeed in life. Amen. Look at what you can do today. Look at the good in that person that's you're with. Okay? If you came with someone, you're next to them, whatever. Find the good in that person, not the bad. Okay? Why is it so easy for us to recognize the bad in the people that we're with, but not even see it in ourselves? Sometimes we have blind spots in our own lives, don't we? I have blind spots. I don't. Oh, man, I'm acting like a fool today, you know? But the love of God will take those blinders off and we'll begin to see, you know, I'm human like anybody else. But you know what? The good competition is this. We can try to outlove one another. Amen. There's an unhealthy side to being competitive in that sense, you know, and comparing yourself. But listen, we ought to try to outlove one another. Outserve one another. Amen? Jesus said the greatest in the kingdom of God would be those that have a servant's heart. Amen? Have a servant's heart. He said the greatest among you will be a servant of all. If you want to be great in the kingdom of God, you love serve people. Amen? That takes all the fear out of it because of how they might treat you. It says, no, I'm looking. How can I bless you? How can I make your life better? Amen? I conscientiously, we had a men's breakfast fellowship yesterday morning. It was marvelous. I'm telling you, God just showed up in that room, didn't he, guys? It was powerful. We're going to have another one in June. And it was so neat because we're just sharing heart to heart with each other. And, you know, and God's just talking through us and ministering to us. And I was so blessed, you know. Hallelujah. And we were better people as a result after we left. We are better people. Ask yourself, how can I make a person's life, when you're with a person, how can I make that person's life better today? Amen? And I'm telling you, God will put all kind of ideas inside your mind. How can I make that person's life better, easier? What can I do? And it might be the smallest little thing sometimes. But just showing, we talked about this in the men's group yesterday. Jesus said we're called to be, he said we're the light of the world. We're a city set on a hill. You know, how can we shine forth our light? I think the main way is by showing kindness to each other. The Bible says, be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. So Jesus is kind, isn't he? And when we show kindness to people, amen? We come into the hotel here, you know, and I know I'm wrapping this up, believe me, trust me. But we come into the hotel, you know what? They got used to, the people that work out there, they got used to giving us a big bear hug. And these people don't even know Jesus yet. You know what I'm saying? And we walk in, they're like, okay. The people that work behind there, you know, but you know what? They know when they come here, they're going to get a hug from us. Amen. That's not being corny or weird or anything like that, but it's just showing the love of God. Amen. You know? Josh comes in there, little lady says, come on, give me a hug. Come on. She calls him Tebow, Tim Tebow. You know? Come on, Tebow, give me a hug. You know? But you know what is that? That's the love of God getting into people, you know, and you put an interest in people. And man, I'm telling you what, there's no shortage of opportunities to minister to people all around us. They're all around us. Amen? Amen. And praise the Lord. I better quit now. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, praise the Lord. Amen, Sister Lynn. Hallelujah. I feel the Holy Ghost today in this place.
Amen.
Mm. I sense his presence in this place. Yeah, yeah. Thank you, Father. No obstacle, no problem too big for you. It can hinder you. There's nothing too big. When you open your mouth and you speak out words of prophecy out of your mouth about your future, about your body, about your marriage, about your... It might look like a dry bone situation. It might look like there's no life left in this marriage. There's no life left in this relationship. Let me tell you something. You speak life to it. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Father, I thank you for every... Thank you, Lord. Yeah. Yeah. There is so kramalakitere, sisia, so pramalakata. And I know the bear susopromolakitriasas over in that berekristia susuka. There's a mahoramakitala sitala kandosa. And every kusia lubanrokiasa, brostikimalakas susukumambredikis. There's no shortage, saith the Lord, of miracles. There's no shortage in heaven, saith the Lord, of that which you need. For heaven is fully supplied and fully equipped for those that are on this earth. So as you walk before me, saith the Lord, and you prophesy and you speak forth those things that you desire, you will unlock the treasures of heaven, and they will be released on your behalf, and there will be no shortage, there'll be no lack in any area of your life, saith the Lord. So just open your mouth and begin to speak and begin to prophesy that which you desire to come to pass in your life in every single area. And you will see it over here. You'll see it over there. You'll see it in front of you. You'll see it behind you. And you'll say, I didn't know it could be this good. I wish I would have learned this years ago. But know this, saith the Lord, I will redeem the time. I will make up lost time. You don't need to cry about your past, because your future will swallow up your past.
Hallelujah.
And my goodness will swallow up. Ha, ha, ha. Thank you, Lord. You know, I remember back many years ago, there was a guy in my church, in our first church, that had a fishing pond. And it was a private pond on this farm. He lived out in the country. He invited us to come up and fish, and I think my son might have been with me at the time. He was really young. And this pond was rarely fished in. So there were some, he said, I warn you, there's some big fish in this pond right now. I said, that's why I'm here. You know? And I'm telling you, no sooner we would cast that line out, as soon as that line would hit the water, a fish was on that. I mean, almost within seconds, 2 or 3 seconds. It was like they were just waiting. And I remember the first fish I caught was a bluegill. It was only about this big, okay? And I went out there, and I saw the bobber going, and went over, so I started pulling it in. Well, as I got closer to the shoreline, it was clear, the water was clear enough that I could look in there and see, you know? And I saw this fish, he's wiggling, you know, and he's struggling, trying to get off the line, you know, but I'm pulling him in, and I'm watching him as I'm pulling him in. All of a sudden, from over here somewhere in the lake, this massive largemouth bass. Now, I've already caught this fish, right? This largemouth bass sees this little bluegill, and I'm pulling him in, and this largemouth bass comes out of the darkness of the pond there. He swallowed up that bluegill, and I caught 2 fish. I don't think I could ever repeat that again. I'm telling you, I caught 2 fish with one hook, you know? And I saw something about that because, you know, you think you're pulling in your harvest. You know, you got this little fish on your line. You're pulling it in. But God's got something way bigger that wants to swallow up that problem. Are you with me?
Amen.
That's why he says, oh, death, where is thy victory? Oh, grave, where is thy sting? You know, it says that death is swallowed up in life. Amen? And sickness is swallowed up in health.
Thank you, Lord.
Poverty is swallowed up in prosperity and provision.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. Where sin abounds, grace does much more abound.
Amen. Amen.
So the answer is way bigger than the problem.
Thank you,
okay?
Hallelujah.
Amen. Praise the Lord. All right, if you need an envelope today, just lift your hand up, please. Goodness gracious. If you need an envelope, just lift your hand up, please. Yeah, that mic left.
Check 1, 2, we got it. All right, I was sitting back there, and I didn't want to do this, but the Lord's like, you got to get up there. You got to get up there. The other night at prayer, I shared this, and I'm going to share it again because it's so powerful. He was talking about fish. This has to do exactly with that. Here, Luke chapter 5 in the Amplified. Can you get that, brother? I'll start in verse 2. It says, and he saw 2 boats drawn up by the lake, but the fishermen had gone down from them and were washing their nets. So they were done. They were like, you know, let's just clean up for the day. Let's head home and chill out. Verse 3, and getting into one of the boats, the one that belonged to Simon Peter, he requested him to draw away a little from the shore. Then he sat down and continued to teach the crowd of people from the boat. Let's see here. And when he had stopped speaking, he what? He said, who said? Jesus. He said, put out into the deep water and lower your nets for the haul. Hallelujah. So what happened here, they were toiling all day. Where is it here? And Simon Peter answered, Master, we have toiled all night. Toiling has to do with time. And what I want you guys to understand is Jesus wants to redeem your time. He wants you to work smart, not hard. And what would take you 2 years to make, he can get it in 1 day. But only if you believe it. Jesus wants to come alongside you. I was teaching this the other night. You remember that, brother? He wants to take your net. He wants to throw it out there with you, not by yourself, like the heathen do. They get out there by themselves and they're all frustrated, they're depressed, they're anxious, and then they're cranky because, you know, you can only do it for so long and then you're just fed up with in that cycle. The cycle of debt, the cycle of bondage, but Jesus wants to set you guys free today. He wants you, everybody has something to do here. You're not just called to do nothing. Whatever you're doing, God wants to get involved. Hallelujah. And he wants to bring increase to the point where the net breaks like it happens here, you know, and the boat began to sink.